Do you remember when the devil took Jesus up on a high mountain and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and he offered him those kingdoms if he would only fall down and worship him? And of course, we know that he didn't. But are those kingdoms important to Jesus? Does he want dominion over them? Does he have a plan for them? Yes, he does, beloved. And we'll look at it today and we'll see how you fit into that plan. Women came to the tomb. They were going to care for the body of Jesus Christ. And when they got there, the tomb was empty. And an angel spoke to them. And the angel said, "He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said. See the place where he was lying? Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." We have come to the very last verses of our study on the Gospel of Matthew. And I'm sitting at the top of Mount Arbel, a beautiful mountain that overlooks the Sea of Galilee. As you can see, the view is absolutely spectacular. It's a glorious day. You can feel the wind and you can sit in the sun and bask in the light. And you know that Jesus was the light, the one that came to this area, because the region of Zebulun and Naphtali was sitting in great darkness, but a great light appeared. Well, they've come to the Galilee, and it says in verse 16, "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated." In all probability, this is not the mountain. It's much too high. But I wanted you to catch a glimpse from here of the beauty of the Galilee. I wanted you to catch a sense of the majesty of the moment, the majesty of the moment, as the one who is the Messiah commissions his 11 and tells them to go into the world. Listen to what it says. "But when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given me in heaven and on earth.'" He had conquered death. He had been raised from the dead. And all authority had been given to him, not only in heaven, but here on earth. And he says, "Go, therefore, in the light of this fact that I have all authority, I am commissioning you to go, therefore, and to make disciples of all the nations." They're not to just go to the Jews now. But the risen Savior is commissioning them to go to the whole world so that every tribe and every tongue and every kindred and every nation might know the glorious news of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the glorious gospel by which they can be saved. So he says, "Go therefore into all the nations." He says, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, and the Spirit." There we have the Trinity. "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." And then he makes a statement. And Matthew closes the gospel with this awesome statement. "And lo, I am with you even until the end of the age." And what's going to happen at the end of the age? He's going to come in all his majesty and in all his glory, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Who is this one that is saying to them, "All authority has been given to me"? Well, Matthew makes it very clear from the very first verse that this is the Christ, that this is the Messiah, that this is the Son of David. God had made a promise. He had made a covenant with David that one of his descendants would sit on his throne forever and ever and ever. And here he was, the fulfillment of that covenant promise. He was not only the son of David, but in that first verse, Matthew also tells us that he is the son of Abraham. He is the seed that God promised Abraham. Remember in Genesis chapter 15, he tells him that from him will come a seed, and that seed, Galatians tells us, is Jesus. Not as to seeds as to many, but as seeds as to one, and that is Jesus Christ. And it says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Oh, Jesus, the one that has given us all authority, is the son of David. He is the son of Abraham. He is the one who is the Messiah. He is the one to whom a virgin would give birth. He is the son of God. Born of man, but son of God. And his name is to be called Yeshua. His name is to be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. His name is to be Emmanuel, which means God in us. Here he was, God incarnate. He was the ruler of the Jews. He was the king of the Jews. The Magi came to Herod, and they said, "Where is the one who was called king of the Jews?" He was the one that was to shepherd Israel, to shepherd God's people, to shepherd God's chosen nation of Israel. He is the one who is the Nazarene. He shall be called a Nazarene, God's son whom he called out of Egypt. He's the one that God parted the heavens and said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." He is the second Adam, the last Adam, the one who was tempted in all points as you and I are, and yet without sin. He's the one that could look at the devil and say, "It is written, be gone, Satan." This is the Son of God. And he came into this region of the Galilee, and his message was this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He is the one that is the teacher. And we know that in Matthew, what God does in this gospel is he gives us more teaching of Jesus than in any other gospel. In Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7, we have his first discourse. It's the discourse of the Sermon on the Mount that opens up with a statement that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When he's saying to the 11, "Go, and all authority has been given to me," these are the ones that have recognized their poverty of spirit. These are the ones that are going after a righteousness that's going to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And so what Jesus tells us in Matthew 5 and 6 and 7 is the character of those and the conduct of those that are truly children of God, to those who can truly call God Abba, Father. It's those that have taken the narrow way, that have gone through the small gate, those that have built their house on a solid rock, a rock that will stand when the storms come. These are the ones that have chosen to do the will of the Father. And so Jesus moves, and he moves throughout this Galilee. And what does he do? He heals the sick. He raises the lame. The blind see, the deaf hear, the mute speak, and those that are tormented by demons are set free. He moves, he raises the dead, he heals the centurion's servant, because he's looking for men that believe him. He's looking for men of faith. He's the one that said, "Go, go and make disciples of all the nations." This is the Son of Man. This is the Son of God. This is the King of the Jews. This is the promised one, the Messiah, the anointed one. Do you remember the second discourse that Matthew records is Jesus' instructions? His instructions to his 12, to his disciples, telling them how he's giving them power and how they're to go and what they're to do if they're accepted or rejected. And then remember, he tells them also that they are going to be persecuted. And then he reminds them of what a disciple is like. He reminds them that when he calls us to discipleship, he is calling us to lose our life, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow him. He reminds us that we are not greater than he is. And if they persecuted him, they will also persecute us. Remember, this is the one that tells the parables of the kingdom, that says the kingdom of heaven is like. This is the one that tells the parable of the sower of the seed. This is the one that tells the parable of the wheat and the tares. This is the one that tells the parables of a pearl of great price. This is the one that tells the parables about what's going to happen at the end of the age. This is the one that knows the difference between the righteous and the unrighteous. This is the one that says, okay, let them grow together in the kingdom. But at the end, the angels will come and separate the wheat from the tares. They will separate the good fish from the bad fish. The wheat will be burned, the tares will be burned, and the wheat will be gathered into the barn. So he is the one that comes and knows all of these things. And he's saying to you, and he's saying to me this day, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Beloved, this means that whoever is your neighbor, whoever is sitting beside you, no matter what nation they came from, God's put them there and he's put you there. And he wants you to make a disciple of them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that he has commanded them. So this is the one that is commissioning them here on a mountain somewhere on the side of the Sea of Galilee. And as he commissions them, dear one, know this, that he is commissioning you too. He has told you all these truths about the Gospel of Matthew. He has given you these truths about Jesus. They're not just for you to enjoy. They're for you to use and to share. And we'll talk about it more in just a minute.
Jesus gave us the Great Commission.
He told us, go and make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you.
Go, make, teach. That sounds like meeting people and getting them into the Bible.
That sounds like inviting someone to your Precept Bible Study group.
Well, we released our Galatians Precept Upon Precept and In and Out Bible Studies last November. But one of the things we like to do is to see how we can increase participation in Bible study globally. We have people in a number of countries around the world who want to study with us. And so the Lord led us to decide, well, maybe we could have everybody around the world studying the book of Galatians at the same time, that they would be able to share around the world what that glorious book is doing in their lives. Visit precept.org/globalGalatians today.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Welcome back, beloved, to this glorious place on the top of a mountain overlooking the Sea of Galilee. When I came up here, I thought, Lord, this is where I have to bring Matthew to a conclusion. This is where I have to share with them his great commission to those disciples. Oh, I wish you could be here with me. I wish we could be face to face. I wish I could be teaching you this with you right across from me. so that we could discuss what we have learned in the Gospel of Matthew. It's been glorious, hasn't it? It's been glorious as we've studied about the King, the one who was coming to rule. Well, remember, Matthew has five discourses in it. And in that fourth discourse, he begins telling them that the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like little children. And then he tells them the importance of a child and how we're not to cause one of these to stumble. Because if we caused them to stumble, we would be better off if a millstone was hung around our neck and we were cast into the deepest sea. He goes on to tell them that stumbling blocks are going to come. It's inevitable. And as he's sending his disciples to go into the world and to make disciples, stumbling blocks are going to come, and it's inevitable. But they will be able to stand. And they will be able to stand because what does he say to them? He says, "Lo, I am with you even until the end of the age, until I come back in all my glory. I am with you. You can make it." And then he tells them that he, as the Son of Man, has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And then he tells about a shepherd. And if the shepherd has 99 sheep and one is missing, he's going to leave the 99, so to speak, and go look for that one missing sheep. Remember, he is the shepherd of Israel. And the shepherd of Israel is going back to heaven. And he is leaving you. And he is leaving me as he left the 11. So that you and I can go out instead in the place of the Son of Man to seek and to save that which is lost. And to remember that he's not going to return until every last sheep is in the fold. Well, those 11 did their job, because here you are, and here I am, and here we are being commissioned also. The baton has been passed on from generation to generation, and the commission, the main verb of this command is go, is make disciples. Having gone, make disciples of all the nations. Well, what is Jesus' final discourse? Oh, I forgot to tell you. In that fourth discourse, remember, he closes it with talking about the importance of forgiving your brother and telling how if we do not forgive, then God cannot forgive us. He's going to turn us over to the tormentors. And you and I need to remember, precious one, that the most important thing about the kingdom of heaven is it is made up of people that have been forgiven. And if God has forgiven you all your sins, how can you, having been forgiven so much, fail to forgive another human being? Oh, beloved, know this, that if you have not forgiven, he has turned you over to the tortures until you're willing to do what he has told you to do. Then we come to the fifth and final discourse. And what is it? It begins in Matthew chapter 24. It's just days before Jesus Christ is arrested and crucified and buried and then resurrected. And what does he do? He walks out of that temple and his disciples say, "Tell us, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And he tells them what it's going to be like and how nation is going to rise against nation and how there are going to be earthquakes and all sorts of tragedies. But the end has not yet come. And then he tells them that they're going to be hated of all nations, hated of all nations, despised of all nations. Now, when he tells them this, I want you to understand that there is never going to be peace in Israel until the end of the age. As a matter of fact, he tells them about that terrible time, that great tribulation that is going to come upon the face of the earth, the one that was spoken of by Joel, the one that was spoken of by Daniel the prophet. the one that is called the time of Jacob's trouble by Jeremiah. That time that will begin when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. Let him who has ears hear. Let the reader understand. This is the one that was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, the abomination of desolation. And then there is going to come a tribulation such as has never been and will never be again. And what's going to bring that tribulation to an end, precious one? It is going to be the end of the age. It is going to be the Son of Man coming in all of his glory with all of his angels with him to rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and very God of very gods. He is the one that is coming. And when he comes, he will sit on his glorious throne and he will gather the nations before him. And he will separate them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And the sheep will enter into eternal life, and the goats will enter into eternal damnation. It was his final discourse, beloved. And then he would go to that upper room. There he would celebrate the Passover. There he would take the bread and say, "This is my body, which is broken for you." There he would take the cup, the blood of the new covenant. There he was, the mediator of the new covenant. He would go. He would be arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. He would be illegally tried at the house of Caiaphas. He would stand before Pilate, the governor. He would stand before Herod, who was down from the Galilee in Jerusalem at that time. And he would then be scourged and taken and nailed to a cross. They would take his body from the cross and bury it in a tomb. And Mary and the others would go to take care of the body. And they would hear these words from the angel, "Tell the disciples to go to the Galilee." This is where we are right now. And this is where Matthew closes his gospel. And as he closes his gospel, precious one, I want you to remember that you have no higher calling on the face of this earth than to be commissioned by the one who spoke and brought the world into existence, the one who has always been, the one who is the I Am, the one who is the Son of God, the one who is God incarnate. And what does he say to you? He says, "I want you to make disciples of all the nations." It's a commission that's given to each one of us. You are to take what you've learned and you are to teach others to observe everything that he has commanded you. This, beloved, is why you're studying his precepts for life. Remember this: faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You have heard the word of God from the Gospel of Matthew. Now he says to you, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. They're going to be saved. Many are going to be saved, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you, even until the end of the age. And at the end of the age, when he comes in all of his glory, you and I will be with him. Remember that as I sit on this windy mountain in the area of the Galilee. I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, "This trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together." So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun,
prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened.
As I sit on this windy mountain, it's the Sea of Galilee. It's the Sea of Tiberias that you see in the background. It was on a mountain close to the sea that Jesus met with the 11. There he commissioned them, as Matthew tells us. But there was another appearance here at the sea, and that was when Peter came down to the sea and he said, "I'm going fishing." It was almost like Peter was going back to what he knew to do best. Was he disappointed? Was he disappointed that he had denied Jesus? Was he disappointed that he had not been everything that he should be? I don't know. But I know that at the sea, as he went fishing, all of a sudden he looked over and there was a fire on the shore and there was someone cooking fish. It was Jesus. And you remember the story. It says, "But when day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach." And it says, "Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, 'Children, do you have any fish?' And they answered, 'No.' And he said to them, 'Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch.' So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of the fish. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' And so when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea." It was here, beloved, on the shore of the Galilee, that Peter met Jesus. And when he got to that shore and he saw Jesus, they had a conversation. And Peter was asked three times by the Lord, "Do you love me?" And when Peter responded each time, Jesus said, "Feed my sheep, tend my lambs." Oh, beloved, that's what I've been doing with you. I've been feeding you, his sheep, for the great shepherd of the sheep. I've been tending you as a lamb, and God wants to do the same through you to others. Beloved, there's a whole hurting world out there that needs to know that there's a shepherd that loves them, that cares for them, that has come to seek and to save them, that they're lost and that they need salvation. I pray that you will take these truths, these precepts for life, and that you will share them with others. Remember, people are hungry. Give them the bread of life, the Word of God.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.